Are you a gifted person? Oh, you say, I'm sort of average. I'm not especially talented. Well, you know, the Lord told a parable about talent. And I want to read this parable. It's in Matthew 25, and we begin with verse 14. And the Lord says, His servants, His people are talented people. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each one according to his own ability, and immediately went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents beside them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also who had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents beside them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Therefore you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore take the talent from him, and give it to him who has 10 talents, for to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now this parable is different from the last one we were looking at. You remember this is called, the last one in Luke 19 was called the parable of the pounds, as the King James puts it, or more modern translations speak of it as mina, a certain amount of money that was given. And in that parable, this man who was going into a far country to receive a kingdom called his servants, he had 10 servants, and he gave to each one the same amount. And then they were to use what he had given them. And when he came back, he took up accounts. And some had been faithful and had really been industrious, and they had multiplied what he had given them. Others, especially the one he refers to, came back with just the 1. He kept it, but he hadn't used it. And he was condemned for that. And we suggested that here, because each received the same, that it could represent the knowledge we have of the gospel, the knowledge of the way of salvation, and the Lord entrusts this to us, as Paul speaks of it in Timothy. He speaks of it as a deposit with which we've been entrusted, and we're to use that. Now, in this case, the parable is different, isn't it? Now, here again, the man is going into a far country. He calls his servants. He delivers his goods to them. But this time, it isn't an equal amount to each one. He considers their natural ability and he gives them different amounts. And then when he comes back again, there is this taking up account. A far country. Let's think of the interpretation of this parable again. The man leaving, of course, refers to the Lord Jesus himself. He obviously had that in mind. He is the master who goes to this far country. He has gone back to heaven. He was crucified. He died. He was buried. He rose again. He ascended. And he is now in heaven. The scripture says, we wait for a son from heaven. And he's seated at the right hand of God, waiting until his enemies are made the footstool of his feet. So that he's the man who has gone into this far country. Who are the servants? Well, the servants are his believers, those who are his followers, those who have confidence in him, those who could say with Peter, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he could say, we have believed, we know that you're the Christ. And these then are his servants. Now, I like that expression. What do you think of being a Christian? Many people just sort of view it as a very superficial thing, something you do lightly. You join an organization, perhaps. You belong to this. They view it almost as a club that is sort of a hobby. But when the Lord Jesus himself here spoke of this whole matter of serving him, he was speaking of it in a way that indicates he demands the all, he expects the all of his servants. They are his servants, his slaves, and their lives are to be given over to him. It's not to be something that is secondary in our life, this matter of being a Christian. It's not something that's just to be a hobby, something that we do after all of our own personal interests and desires are taken care of. One who's a slave and a servant lives his whole life in view of the fact that he wants to please his master, he belongs to his master. And Paul says, you're not your own, you're bought with a price. So that we want to very strongly emphasize that. This is the relationship Christians have to the Lord Jesus. And we should recognize it and delight in it. If he is God, if he died for us, then we're redeemed. We've been purchased with a price. We're not our own. We ought to live for him. We ought to do it gladly and joyfully. Now, he has given to us an uneven distribution of his goods. He gives to one at this five, to another two, to another one, and so on down the line, considering each servant and then distributing. And we can say in an arbitrary way, he's the Lord, but also considering the servants and considering their abilities and so forth. Now, what does this picture? Well, I really believe that it's speaking here of spiritual gifts. Remember in 1 Corinthians 12, he describes the various spiritual gifts that are given to Christians, and he says that this is something that the Lord has done. It's not something that we choose for ourselves. No man can choose his own spiritual gift and say, well, I choose this and demand it. The Lord is the Lord. And it says here, for example, in verse 4 of 1 Corinthians 12, and I'm reading from the New King James Version, by the way, but for those of you who like the King James, I think you'll find helpful as updating some of the language and still keeping much of the beauty and the various expressions of the King James. Verse 4 says, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are diversities of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. To one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another, and so forth. He goes on down the line. He distributes spiritual gifts to the servants according to his own wisdom. And his servants don't choose these gifts for themselves. He is the one who gives. He is the Lord. Now, what should we do then as we consider our spiritual gifts? If you're a child of God, if you've accepted the Lord Jesus, if this is true, he says to everyone is given the manifestation of the Spirit or the display of the Spirit, the working of the Spirit in your life. And if you are a child of God, if you've accepted the Lord Jesus, he has given you some spiritual gift. Now, what is your responsibility in connection with that? Well, I think, first of all, the man who had the five talents would look at this large sum of money and he would say, God, or rather in this case, his Lord, his master,
has entrusted me with 5 talents. He knew what it was. He knew how much it was. He couldn't have used it effectively if he didn't know what it was. He thought he had 5, when actually he had 1, he would have been very confused when it came to investing. So he needed to recognize and know what it was, what the gift was that he had. Then his responsibility was, after he knew that and discovered it, to use it effectively and diligently for his master. And that's our responsibility too. We don't choose our gift, but it is our responsibility to discover it and to use it effectively. And maybe when you're a young Christian, you're not sure what your gift is. But as you try different things, as you grow, as you mature, you discover perhaps I'm gifted as a teacher. I'm especially gifted in personal work. I'm gifted in shepherding and counseling. I have a real heart for helping people. You discover your gift. You find what it is you're good at doing and you enjoy doing, and then you use it wholeheartedly for the Lord. This is what he wants. And the time is coming now, and he says it's after a long time. In verse 19 it says, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. A long time. The Lord wanted to prepare them. Some of the disciples thought, well, he's going to come back right away. He said, no, it's going to be a long wait. It's gone on for nearly 2,000 years, but we believe he's coming back. And we believe we're going to give an account. When he comes back, his servants are going to stand before him, and he's going to say to each of us, all right, what did you do with what I gave you? I've entrusted you with spiritual gifts. I've blessed you. You have ability, spiritual ability, to be a blessing to others, to build up Christians, to help lead people to the Lord. What have you done with what I gave you? And he's going to consider what he gave us. He's not going to expect of us he's given to someone else. Each one of us is gifted differently, and he understands that. He knows that. He's understanding, he's compassionate. But he says to us, use what I've given you. Use it wholeheartedly. Use it diligently. And if that is true, then when he comes back, he will reward us. Calls those servants, and he reviews each one, and he says, I'm going to give you authority. I'm going to give you responsibility in accordance with your faithfulness. Beautiful, isn't it? I'm so glad the Lord knows what he's given us. He's not going to expect us to do something we're not gifted for. But knowing us perfectly, then he says to us, listen, you be faithful, you use what I have given you, and you be wholehearted in serving me. Christian, discover your gift and use it wholeheartedly for the